The Business on RT Radio 1 with Ulster Bank. For when you're keen to know what Brexit means for your business, visit ulsterbank.ie/Brexit.
Well, there's been lots of reaction to our interview with Pat Clavin of CAB this morning, but to take a different angle on the impact of drugs, how do you turn your life around and get a regular job after dealing with drug addiction? A Dublin company, CJK Engineering, has linked up with Cool Mind Treatment Centre to give people a second chance. We're joined by Jamie, who has been through the Cool Mind programme, and Damien Pettigrew, Managing Director of CJK Engineering. Damien, first to you. How did the connection with Cool Mind come about?
The Cool Mind connection really came when I started with CJK. I actually attended a roundtable discussion with the Fingal Chamber of Commerce, and we were invited to attend Cool Mind to see what they could offer the clients. And what struck me was I actually expected to see the empathy with the carers and the clients. But what I didn't expect to see was how regimented it was. For some reason, I had in my mind that maybe people would be, you know, somewhat wandering around aimlessly, or, you know, just caring for them. But actually, it's very, very structured. It's almost, you know, army-like, I would say. Like, you have to have structures. You have to be in certain places at certain times. There's a certain chain of command. You have responsibilities. You have duties to do every single day. So I took away with me, you know, that there was. At that time, actually, the construction industry was effectively at unemployment rate of zero. There weren't people to be had. But yet, we had these people here in Cool Mind, a lot of well-able, you know, young lads who may have, you know, fallen on hard times before. And simply we were looking past, the society were looking past these people and not, you know, considering them because they had gaps in their CV, or maybe they were somewhat untouchable, whatever it might be. And that's when really, when I met Jamie first, he was the head of house there. And even though he is a big man, as you can see, you know, a very, very big man. There was some degree of anxiety, even with Jamie talking in front of, say, typical suits, if you like. But having looked past that and then talked to Cool Mind about this second chance option, we talked with Jamie to see if this is something that he would be interested in. And Jamie grasped the opportunity with two hands. And I think that he's proven it, been tremendously successful on site. He now, you know, we'll speak to him now, but he now has his own life in order. And as I'm from September, Jamie will now start his own apprenticeship with a view that he's going to hopefully be a qualified electrician in just over 4 years.
Jamie, tell me a bit about your issues and difficulties with addiction and with drugs. When did you get started with drugs?
I suppose when it was, I'd say I was young, about 12 to 14, I would have started smoking cannabis, like, because it was just the accepted thing. Like, it's kind of fit in with the crowd. That's what all the, say, cool kids were doing. And I just kind of progressed over the years more and more. Then I kind of fell into the wrong crowd, because you're involved in criminality then, basically, if you do drugs. Then I progressed as I got into my 20s, would have moved on to, say, harder things like coke and tablets and all sorts. And eventually just, yeah, attract the attention, unwanted attention of, say, like, guards or whatever, and you end up with a criminal background and all the rest of it. And it's just, it all comes hand in hand. I basically became unmanageable towards the end of it, whereas I was isolating myself in my room, basically just trying to get away from everything. And that's when I decided I kind of needed a change. Like, I went through a couple of rough times, like, but eventually I kind of decided I needed to do it for myself. Like, before that, it was always for family or whatnot, like, but eventually I kind of needed to kick up the arse by myself to do it. And that's when I started getting contact with Cool Mind.
And you went into the programme in Cool Mind, which is a residential programme. It's a full time. How long were you there?
I was there from March till November, and then you have a step down March of 2018 to November 2018, and then you have a step down programme, and then it's aftercare. I'm currently still in aftercare, so it's basically one night a week, go up there for an hour.
Was it tough?
I'd be lying if I said no, but yeah, it was, yeah.
What was tough about it?
Basically having to, like, be broke down, basically, because, like, you go in with some sort of bravado of all this, like, drug life with an ego and all this sort of stuff, and then you go in there and you're surrounded by people that would have went through the same kind of life, but as they go further on, you're looking at them in a completely different light, friendly people. They all have, like, if you take the drugs away from people, they turn into a different type of person, like back to when they were a kid, like, you know what I mean? So it was conflicting the whole way through, and then you have to basically stand up and sing songs in front of the lads, and it's just that, like, making nervous enough, and it's just there's madness, like, things you do, and
that would break you down.
It'd
all
be
right.
A great TV program, like, you yeah. know, just it was tough, like, you know, life stories, stuff you never thought affected you. You go back into your past and, well, where you went wrong, basically, and just it was like, I couldn't really say how tough it was. You have to experience it yourself.
But as you were going through that, and it was, I'm sure it was very difficult, you must have been thinking about yourself and your own life and your own future. And did you think during that period about what you were going to do, or you were just talking about, I'll get through this programme, I'll get through next week, I'll get through next month? Were you thinking about work or what you might do?
I was always kind of worried through it. Like, you have guidance counsellors in there, and they'd be like asking you to do a CV and all, and I was looking at getting into Irish Aviation or the SB for some sort of apprenticeship, because that's all they knew of. Like, it's kind of, you've no access to the internet, so it's basically what you know. And then even trying to fill out a CV with the guidance counsellor, you're looking at these gaps, and you basically have to lie to make it look like you haven't been in that life, so to make you like an option for like employers to employ you. And starting like job like that isn't a good way to start, whereas with CJK.
So even sending in the CV straight away, yeah. You've got to try and explain where you've been. How do you account for this gap?
Like, there's a gap, basically, and like, no matter what way you say it, it's just kind of, it does sound like you're going to have five people having an interview, and say three of them wouldn't have had like a gap, and you have that gap to make up. 90% of the time, they're going to go for that person that hasn't got that gap and is kind of more suitable.
When you decided then to have a look at the apprenticeship, and you spoke to Damien, was that a bit of a no-brainer for you? Were you delighted to take that opportunity, or were you worried that, look, this is going to be pretty tough?
I was kind of a blessing. I kind of had a previous history of like working on sites and that, done a bit of factory fitting. It was kind of hell jobs. I wouldn't say to the best of my ability, but had some sort of experience. It made it easier. Like, when I seen that coming in, I got told about it, and I was like, look, I'll take that on with two hands, like, put my name forward for it. And then eventually, like, I met Damon when I was bringing him around, showing him around the place, and you get to a certain point in there, you're there three quarters of the way through your program, and like, right, what's next? There isn't anything next. You kind of have to go find your own feet. But out of all the people in there, I got blessed. I just, like, kind of landed on my feet.
What about stuff like the Leaving Cert? Had you done your Leaving Cert?
No.
Have you done it yet?
No, I left school after my Junior Cert, and I just went working. So I had a kid, and I had to provide. And obviously I was still in drug use, but I was still kind of coping at that stage. I was about 18, so it was kind of still coping with life and work and all the rest of it, but it just kind of, as it progressed, it came unmanageable, and like, luckily my life's kind of sorted itself out.
Is there that sense or a fear on your part that you could drift back into drugs?
There always is that fear. I think everyone has that fear. If anyone doesn't, I think they're slightly mad, because like, it's always there. Like, even if you go out down the street, you see people smoking grass or whatever, and you're smelling it the whole time. And sometimes it does play in your head, but it's kind of having the support of Cool Mind. And even with CJK, you can always ring and say, look, I'm struggling or whatever. And like, there's loads of support around it. So like, it's great to have that sort of knowledge, like, and being able to pick up a phone and talk to someone. And say,
what do you think when you see people addicted to drugs now? If you see people in the street, you meet people in the street, and you have a sense of what their life is like. Do you judge them?
Sometimes I would. Like, I walk by people on the street, I'm not going to lie, and I'd say, like, I can remember where I was. I do have empathy for them, but I'm looking at it like they need to give themselves. Like, no one can push someone to change their life. They have to actually decide that's what they want to do. And if they're still stuck in that, you're not really going to help them by giving them, like, telling them what to do, and they have to decide that on their own. So I do kind of judge sometimes, whereas other cases I wouldn't. It's kind of a bit strange, it's like conflicting. Like, when you're in society, you're kind of looking at it, like when I'm around lads I'll be working with and like walking by them, I feel like I'm back to normal, and then I'm looking at this and that's my past life. Like it's kind of, it's always conflicting in my head.
And your work colleagues in CJK, do they know about your past?
Some would, like not all of them. I wouldn't tell everybody. Like if I got to know someone after a couple of months or whatever, a couple of weeks, I'd have no problem talking about it. And even at that, no one judges. It's, that was the strangest thing I found. When I'm talking to someone, they have their own life experiences, like not would have been the same life as mine, but they'd understand, like don't know how, like they must have some sort of connection with it, but I've never been judged. I've always been treated the same as everyone else, the way I'd like to be treated.
Damien, it must be quite rare, I would imagine, for employers to take on people that they know have had a drug addiction. It's one of those things that even if somebody had, I don't know, a criminal background and they had been done time or whatever it is, and they'd say, well, look, everybody deserves a second start. A lot of employers, I think, would be very wary about someone who had a drug addiction, even in their past.
Yeah, I think, well, the way I look at it is that having a look at the regime that they went through, as Jamie said, he's basically been deconstructed and put back together again. At least I know it's been rebuilt and what's coming out. We have an idea of history. We can know what to watch out for. We can look out for warning flags. Sometimes you can employ somebody and you really don't know the background. I mean, you know, paper never refused ink, and you can have a CV and everything looks great. And next of all, their behaviour is not... Does, like, Jamie's behaviour has exceeded their expectation, in the sense that his willingness to, you know, to get involved, to get stuck in, to help people. So people didn't judge, you know, and as I said, there is a lot of legislation around equality, about, you know, gender equality and all different types of equality. But, you know, if somebody's made a mistake in the past, that's almost out the window. You know, so I think like there is an equality that people deserve a second chance. And you know, for me, being involved with the construction industry, I think that there is a huge demand in the construction industry for people. I would call on the CIF to, you know, to engage with this, to try and encourage more people to get involved in this. These people, clients, have recovered. They've made the effort. I mean, you see the effort that they go through to get themselves to a state. The least I think we can do as suppliers is give them a chance.
Is he a tough boss, Jamie?
Yeah, oh, it's kind of a hard question.
Yeah, you're hedging it a bit there.
Like, I'd say fair more than tough. Like, if I didn't do what I've done in the last couple of months, I wouldn't be offered an apprenticeship. Like, that's straight out. Like, even, like, I had to prove myself before I got that opportunity. Like, and even with the, when we started, it was 3 days a week starting work until I eventually got capable of doing 5 days a week, like, because it was too much to take on straight. Coming out of there, you're isolated from everybody and you're coming straight onto a site then. So 3 days a week was a great idea first to get me integrated into it. Now, doing full-time, it's great. Like, it's complete structure after that.
And your apprenticeship is an electrician.
Yeah.
Are you looking forward to coming out the far end of that and what you might do, what you might like to do? You might stay working for the company for a long time. Would you think about setting up your own business?
Eventually I would, but for now it's like loyalty for me. Like, it's just like you kind of get loyalty after a while, like seeing someone hand you that opportunity basically, and to turn around, and I'd like to stay there for a while anyway and then decide. Like, you never know where life's going to take me, but I'm already looking at the other end of it to see where I'm going to end up. But I have to do it first basically.
Gotta do the hard
stuff. I have to walk
first
before you can run. Yeah.
Well, the best of luck with it. Thank you very much, Jamie, and to Damien Pettigrew, Managing Director of CJK Engineering.
Welcome. Thanks.
Thanks.